Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, this is Kendra, and you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. My beautiful, lovely co-host, Anne, is at home with her precious new baby, Nora, who is so beautiful and perfect. Thank you guys for praying for them. But she'll be back with us in a few weeks. But yeah, for those that are new to the show, this is a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe your family has been called to adoption. However God is building your family in a unique and maybe slightly different from the rest of the world way, we want to go with you on that journey and encourage you just to cling to Christ, because He's enough. And He's going to be with you on the highs and the lows. And today we have a returning guest, Kinsey Kilo, who I always want to say your maiden name, Barnes, because when I met you, you were a Barnes. But Kinsey was on, spent a couple months, I think, now, but to talk during our fostering and adoption series that we did. And an amazing story. You were raised in a household that did fostering. How many kids came through your home?
Oh, gosh.
Up, if you had to guess.
I want to think it was close to 20.
It's insane.
Maybe 18 or 20.
I mean, that's a lot.
It's pretty close to that, I have to say.
So it prepares you to be a pro. So you are a multi-generational adoptive family person. And you shared on the show with us last time about your family's incredible journey. But for those that missed the show, give us the quick recap of how many children you have and how God did that, like just the two-minute quick version.
Okay, the quick version. Okay. So I have five children. My oldest is Matt. He's 17. And then Ethan is 15. Mario is 10.
And that's our sibling set.
And that's our sibling set that are adopted. They all have the same birth mom and different birth dads. Mm-hmm. And they were in different homes. And then when we got them, we were able to adopt them together. And then we have our daughter, Love. She's about to be three. Mm-hmm. And we picked her up in the NICU adopted her after a year. So we didn't adopt her right away. We adopted her through foster care as well. And then Murphy was a surprise. We call him Dude if I go back and forth. But Murphy, Dude, he was a surprise and biological, and he rounds us out, and he will be two next month.
That's insane.
Yes.
And just a quick recap, if I'm remembering correctly, you and your husband didn't necessarily struggle with infertility, but you felt called to adoption.
Yes. We did not struggle with infertility. We had actually decided to not have biological kids. We felt so strongly about adoption, and that there are so many kids out there that don't have a home, that was what we were, that was our call, and that's what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. And then God had
Murphy
other plans and gave us
you.
Murphy, and he just rounds us out so perfectly. Right. So, but yeah, that's they're great. That's it could go on forever, but that's the synopsis, the short version of.
Well, so many of the people that we talk to on the show who struggle with infertility, God ends up leading them to fostering or adopting, and it's such a beautiful story. And the last time we had you on, Kinsey, I just remember being like, making notes of like, that could be its own show. That could be its own show. And there were like 17 notes. I was like, we just have to have her on because you're such a pro. And you're so passionate about adoption.
Yes,
and today the topic we want to talk about is specifically, what are some of the thorns and roses of adoption?
Yes.
You used that phrase in a Facebook message. And I was like, what's on your heart? And I love that because, you know, a lot of times with infertility, people are just like, oh, just adopt. And it's not just a Band-Aid for a problem. Like,
yeah.
You do have to be called because there are some thorns that come with it. But there's also these roses that are just these beautiful moments that pop up that if you don't ever walk down that journey, you may never know the blessings that are hidden. And what I love about you is when you talk about the thorns, you also talk about the roses and the way that God sustains you through the thorns. But we want to talk about some of the just things from your personal journey that have been some of the hardest. So here's my first question to you. We're going to launch off. So you
We're really prepared, like if as prepared as any human being. Like I don't know that you can ever be fully prepared to foster and adopt, but if anyone was, it was you. So with all of that, what have been some of the hardest things that you're like, I couldn't have prepared for that, but this has been a difficult transition and I've had to cling to God?
I think the hardest, and I feel like I need to say, like you said, thorns and roses, all of these, I feel like saying them, they were worth it and they mm-hmm. grew us. But I think the specifically the hardest thing has just with our kids specifically being mm-hmm. older, mm-hmm. not love, just our bigger boys that mm-hmm. have memories, that have connections. I think the hardest thing for me is not cutting off and like diminishing the memories and the things that they had and when they want to remember a good moment. Mm. Like sometimes I think as an adoptive mom, it's hard to know that like they're not yours ultimately, they're God's. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to cling to. But that they, especially with older kids, that they were somebody else's first. And you can't take that away, no matter if they were a bad parent, no matter if the kids know that too. Like, they still love them and they're loyal. And it's I feel like that's been very hard for me. And it's still ongoing. Mm. It doesn't just stop. It's been from the day we got them until now that they'll bring something up. And I just have to regroup. And I'm like, okay, that's always going to be their birth mom, but I am their adopted. I'm their, you know, and I feel like that's something that I don't really feel like anybody said that to me, that that would be a struggle. And I don't think that that's something that anyone could have prepared. Like, it's just mm-hmm. like a little bit of heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And it came from, you know, initially having the boys of being like, well, my mom, mm-hmm. .. Mm-hmm. and my mom this, and you're never, you know, where it was hurtful and spiteful and just like having to come from a place of, okay, he's hurting. Like, I don't, you know, right now, I don't want to be their mom because mm-hmm. their mom was such a, she was not a good person in the way she took care of them and put them through, that I was like, okay, and I'm going to work through that. I'm going to cling to God. I'm going to pray. Like, okay, Lord, just give me your words. Because in that moment, like finding what to say and how to help them, like there's so many moments that the boys have been like, do you remember when you said this? And I was like, yes, but that was not me. That was the Lord, because I would not have said that. But I think that now it's more of that we'll do something, and I'm trying to think of a specific situation. Oh, so the other day I was cooking dinner and Ethan out of nowhere was just like, oh, our mom, she made the best fried chicken. Mm. And it just like, I'm like, oh, and then I was like, really? Well, tell me about it.
Yeah.
You know, that it doesn't, for me, that I'm like, okay, that's a good memory. And mm-hmm. them having a good memory doesn't take away mm-hmm. from the good memories with me. And if I were to try and like pat that down or tamp that out, all that's going to do is cause resentment and bitterness. And, you know, and the Lord has a plan for her, and maybe mm-hmm. one day she'll turn it around. But if not, then they do need those things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what they need more is to be able to look back on, oh, do you remember when we talked to mom mm-hmm. about mom? Mm-hmm. Do you remember when we talked to mom? And it's, you know, every 4th of July comes up and they're like, oh, well, you know, we used to light fireworks on the stove and like run outside, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like with the fireworks that we stole. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's great. But you know, so things like that with them, I know that, I don't know if that it's going to be different person to person, because everybody's age and journey and kids are going to be different. But I feel like that was something for me personally that I just want, I feel like the Lord has worked in me as well in my adoptive and my biological kids, and always striving for perfection in myself. Not necessarily my kids. I'm fine if they look homeless and they're a hot mess, but for myself, I want to create the perfect life for them. Mm-hmm. I want to be the perfect mom. I want to have all these moments. And so I think it's been good for me to have to go back to God of like, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. I can't make it perfect. I can't make their past perfect. I can just be here and be present. And so I feel like that's been a big ongoing struggle for me.
Man, you're touching on so many things that like are so important. I feel like the role of a mom, like it is in our nature to want to be the one and only for our kids.
Yes.
To be the one. And you're their, like when in the natural order, when you have a biological child, you are providing them literally life. And then you are their food source. You are their everything. And so they're turning to you. for all of this. In the situation where you adopt especially older children, you've got this other person in the relationship that whether they're in your home or not, mm-hmm. they're in your home in a way because they've forever made a mark on this child, both good and bad. And I love that you're able to identify the good, but there's got to be this sense of having to tell yourself, I'm not trying to compete with this yes. other person. And like, I get that, like, in a weird way, it reminds me of the like daughter-in-law, mother-in-law relationship, which lots of times is the hardest for most mm-hmm. people. I have an amazing mother-in-law. I'm not talking about you. I lucked out, y'all. Teresa Knox, you're the best. But a lot of mother-in-laws have trouble when a new woman comes into their son's life because they want to be the one and only. And it's mm-hmm. like, who makes the best fried chicken? You know, and those issues yes. come up. And it's like, I want to have, and I think as women, God designed us to want to have that role, to be a mm-hmm. one and only. And mm-hmm. it's a reflection of, you know, we're the bride of Christ and we're supposed to be God's one and only. So it's not necessarily wholly bad, but you've got this issue of these kids of needing to put them first and recognize, like you said, the position that this mom has had in their life mm-hmm. and that it's not all bad. And is it difficult for you because you see the scars, emotional, physical, whatever, that may have happened in their life.
Yes.
And
yes.
so it's harder to see the, oh, you make great fried chicken, but, you know, it's hard to forgive all these other things
yes,
that happen.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I think, too, kind of on that one and only note, like, a little different because, mm-hmm. you know, we are now, I think we just talked mm-hmm. earlier before we started the episode that it's this November will mm-hmm. be 3 years they've been adopted.
Wow.
A little over, hold on, is it three? Hold on, we have mm-hmm. Lovey.
Doing the mom math.
I think 3 years adopted, and we've had them a little over 4 years wow. total, our big boys. And Matt was 13 mm. when we got him.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's 17. He'll be 18.
I think Dr. Dodson says that, like, your personality and, like, direction of life is fixed by, like, age 3 or 4.
So and that has been something that I don't want to say, a thorn, but not mm-hmm. a thorn because he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. he of himself is such a beautiful person. Mm-hmm. And just the way the Lord has given him gifts and protection that he mm. is just not this angry, bitter person mm. with everything he's been through the most. Like, he'll just, you know, memories, like, he'll just pop off with, like, oh, I remember, like, you know, when I hid Ethan in the closet because of things that were happening.
Oh, my word.
You know, like, things that he's got the most memories, but he also just has this, like, oh, what are we doing tomorrow?
Positivity.
Like, it's just, he's not in the past. Mm. But with that being said, you know, he had 13 years of watching people. And we've talked about this with him specifically, like, lying and sneaking and being lazy. And it's just, it's hard to reprogram that. Mm-hmm. And my husband is the most non-lazy, hardest worker mm-hmm. you've ever met. And so there's a lot of
conflict
yeah. there because he just wants what's best for him. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, and I think the thorn is that we are raising someone's mm-hmm. husband mm-hmm. and someone's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be like, this is my little boy that's been through so much and I just want to hug him and protect him. And Ryan's like, no, this is someone's husband. This is someone's dad. And like, mm-hmm. we have got to instill that in him. We've got to mm-hmm. find ways to love him, but like, let him mess up and let mm-hmm. him make these decisions so that he's not, has no idea and like goes into making bad choices when he's out of our home. So that's been ongoing. And honestly, that's been something we've really been struggling with lately because he's almost 18 years old.
Yeah. And you're preparing to launch
him. And we're preparing to launch him. Yeah. And in a lot of ways, he's not ready to mm-hmm. be launched. And so there's just been a lot of, you know, I think going back to, you know, the thorns in that, I think a lot of people, and when they talk to us mm-hmm. about adoption, they kind of pat on the back, like, oh, look what you did. Mm. Look at your kids that come to church. You're like, bop, bop, bop. Like, oh, you did good. And I'm like, the Lord is great and the Lord is mm-hmm. good and the Lord has a plan for them regardless. And we're so thankful for them. But, you know, it doesn't just because we slap a new name on them mm-hmm. and we bring them to church and we show them God's love does not negate the years mm-hmm. of stuff that they've been through.
Yeah.
Now, I think that we've grown and we've learned. We've learned from them. They've learned from us. There's been a lot of growth, but I think struggles and challenges don't just go away mm-hmm. because they're adopted. And I think naively, mm-hmm. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to love the hurt and the brokenness
right out of them.
Like, I'm going to love them like the Lord.
Give them 2 weeks. I got you.
Yes, like, we're going to be bright and shiny. And I think that when the bright and shiny and the newness wears off, there's just God. And I think that in the... Ryan talks about like the adrenaline high of like, oh, they're calling us about a kid. We're meeting them. We're getting the room ready. Like, we went from 0 to 5 in less than 2 years.
Insane.
So like, there was just this adrenaline, this drive, this like, oh, like God's got us, but kind of more of like a, when you're in like, when everything's good, it's easier to say, but God, whereas when you're in a valley, it's a little bit harder. And I think that like when all the newness wears off and like, these are your kids for life, you know, regardless of everything, like these are your kids forever. And it's not just all better because you love them. And like, there's a lot of clinging to God because it does, you know, but I, but then again, I don't want anyone to take that and be like, oh, I can't adopt because your biological, I put my mom through it. I was terrible. I was absolutely, I don't know how the woman had more kids after me because I mean, there, I was as bad as a lot of foster kids that they had, you know, but God, but like she gave birth to me, raised me in the church, like, you know, taught me Christ's love and like came back to a lot of that. But that's just because you adopt an older child doesn't mean, you know.
Well, you make up a good point that like so much of parenting, a lot of it is good parenting, but then there's also this aspect where the child has to respond and choose to accept Christ and to choose to respond to godly discipline. And that's got to be frustrating as a parent because you're like, I'm doing all these things, but then you have this human, which we are all human, you know, and they've come with all of this baggage and all of this stuff that they have to unpack. And in a, you know, traditional, you know, if you have a biological child, you don't have as much teaching that you have to do. I know I have three adopted brothers, and when they came to my parents' house, there were just simple things like they didn't have food in their house, so hoarding and hiding food, and they didn't know how to brush their teeth, that they were afraid of the shower, and they were seven, you know. And so those are just some basic life skills that you would learn much earlier on that my parents had to go back and say, we're going to, you know, it's like a foundation that's laid, that's a bad foundation, is crooked. You gotta get the, you know, jackhammer and break it up. So do you feel sometimes like, oh man, we're behind on these things? And how does the Lord give you peace to not compare yourself?
I think, and I have very much struggled with feeling behind. But I think I may have said this in the other episode. I'm not sure because it's Ryan's like, it's his banner, his slogan, that he waves when I'm like, oh my gosh, he's just like, hey, is that, you know, the Lord gave them to us exactly when we were supposed to have them. So we're not missing out on time. We got them exactly when we were supposed to. And I think that that's easy to say when you're not staying home with them all the time sometimes. No, I'm kidding, because it really is true. But I think that I do struggle with that feeling. But very quickly, I'm like, okay, God did not give them to me as an infant. He gave them to me at this age. For it didn't surprise him that I got mad at 13 years old. And so that's kind of what I go back to when I get really frustrated. But then, you know, yesterday it was kind of, I feel like with kids, and I don't know, I don't have teenagers that I gave birth to. I'm sure it would be similar. But we have these little moments that I'm just like, the roses where I'm like, Ryan,
guess what?
And it can be the tiniest thing. Like Ethan's 15. He's cool. He's very cool. And he is too cool for me. And he just comes out last night and was like, hey, what are you going to watch? And I was like, I'm going to watch Practical Magic. And he was like, can I watch it with you? And I was like,
he wants to watch it with me.
And he just snuggles up on the couch with me. And, you know, like, but with Matt talk, you know, he comes home from work yesterday and he has a job and it is a blue collar. Hard job that his dad wanted him to have because he needs some hard work. He comes home sweaty and gross, and he was like, hey, I stopped at the store and I got you a Dr. Pepper on the way home. Like, with his money that he earned, that he came home and he was like, I brought this to you. And then he was like, and I want to talk to you. And just, you know, he's, you know, we're I think you and I talked a little bit ago about we're 17. We're kind of talking to some, you know, girls. We're getting there. And just wanted to, he's like, I just want to tell you what I said. I want to tell you this. And a couple of the things I was like, oh, okay.
Wouldn't have said that.
But he came to me to be, you know, to be open and honest and kind of the way, like, mimicked what I do where I'm like, hey, I made dessert. I got this. We're going to have this happy little thing and we're going to have this talk that could be good, could be hard. And I was like, oh, he's learning.
You've got biological moms of biological children listening right now and they're like, what is her secret? I have a biological teenager and he doesn't do that to me. That's amazing.
But I was like, it was a good and hard conversation. Mm-hmm. And both of us were, he didn't love a couple things I said, but we ended it with, he was like, okay, what are you making for dinner?
Yeah.
Like, it was a good, I feel like a good, culmination of the thorns and roses in that moment of seeing, like, okay, it's not going to be perfect. We still have struggles, but, like, it's there. Like, every, it was kind of like, I know it was so little, like, it was a Coke and a talk, but it was like this realization of everything we're putting into him is in there, regardless of if it's showing or not, to just keep up that, okay, if I keep saying it, if I keep doing it, like, you know, God's got to, we say, like, you know, when the boys asked the Lord into their heart, that we use the term the Lord pricked their heart, that he turned them to him. And, you know, Ryan says the same thing about work ethic, about
determination. And has that happened for any of them yet?
Our two older boys, yes.
Amen.
Our two older boys have both asked the Lord. And it was complete, I do believe that we talked about it a lot and I was like, I don't want this to just be like, we brought you into church.
Yeah. And you repeated something.
Yes. And no, like, it was very much like that the Lord did call them and we've seen a lot of growth in them in those areas. But I think that, you know, when you ask the Lord into your heart, me as well, like, it's a growing experience.
Yeah.
And I think that adoption, you know, that adoption experience is kind of not exactly the same, but similar in that it's constant growth. It's constant change. There's going to be the Lord growing you and there's going to be these rose moments and these thorn moments. And
well, one more topic I want to jump into, because you mentioned off air, just the feeling of, I prayed, you know, for God to give us, a, you know, children, and you adopted, you got five children in how many years?
Less than two.
Less than 2 years. You said, but times I just feel so overwhelmed and then I feel guilty because this is what I prayed for.
Yes.
Talk about that for a minute.
Yes, I think, and I know that I have had friends that have struggled with infertility. Mm-hmm. Like we said, I have not, but I feel like it's a little bit similar of that. I've prayed for this baby. I've prayed for this pregnancy. I have this baby and now I'm overwhelmed being a new mom. Whereas for me, it was like, I prayed for this adoption. I prayed for these kids. And I just, I think, especially with the five, just these moments of drowning.
I cannot imagine.
You know, and I feel like at the same time, I try really hard to be transparent with my kids. And so I'll be like, hey, I love you guys. Nothing's wrong. But I'm going to go in the bathroom. I'm going to pray and I'm going to cry. I'm going to set a timer. I'm going to come out and, like, and I literally have said that. I have said that to my kids. I'm going in the bathroom to cry and pray and I'm going to come out and we're going to have a great day. Because I feel like me pretending everything's fine is just setting them up to think that they can't ever feel overwhelmed. Because my mom is amazing. I have only wonderful things to say about her, but we never saw her struggle. Like, she would wait till we were in bed and then she's like, then I, like, laid in the floor and just bawled my eyes out. But I always thought my mom was the most together person. Like, just, and I was like, I am just failing because I am just waking up feeling like, oh my gosh, I gotta do this all over again.
So weight on your chest.
And I talked with Ryan that I was like, I feel like such, not only a failure, but a little bit of, like, a liar that I'm like, all I have talked about is wanting these kids and wanting to adopt, and I have everything I've ever wanted. And, like, sometimes I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. And I have just, you know, prayed and just realized that, like, and I feel like for anyone listening, like, you're not alone. And I think I really thought that that was such, like, no one else felt that way. And in other mamas that I've just talked with and fellowshipped with, that no matter whether it's one or two, whether you got pregnant on your honeymoon or struggled for years with infertility, whether you adopted a sibling set of older kids or adopted a newborn baby from the hospital, that, like, you can't do it on your own. Like, you are going to feel like a failure. You are going to struggle because without the Lord, like, you're not enough. You're never going to be enough. And I think sometimes when I feel that way, it's because oh, I'm not in the Word as much. I'm not fellowshipping with Christ as much, that I'm starting to kind of depend on myself a little too much.
So true.
And that I'm like, oh, okay, Mackenzie, nope, you're not a good enough mom on your own. Like, you've got to get back in with the Lord if that.
Yeah, it takes you back to your roots.
Yeah,
I think, like, sometimes we think that because we're called to something, that it's going to be easy.
Yes.
Like, well, I was called to do it, so it's just going to all fall.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like, God calls us to do hard things. Yeah. Anne and I have talked about on the air just both of us having very difficult pregnancies.
Yes.
And then jumping into motherhood. No matter how that child comes to you, motherhood is so hard. But, man, you have just so articulated how God has sustained you. And, like, I love your vulnerability and also just your passion. But we are almost out of time, so we're going to have to have you back for more stories. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart. If the Lord calls you to foster or adopt or however He builds your family, just know He is enough. And the same way that Kinsey is smiling and not crying right now in the bathroom, the same God who picks her up on the hard days will be there for you to pick you up and keep you going. And God loves you. Keep listening to Hannah's Heart.